Well, there's been a long, unsuccessful campaign to try and ban greyhound racing in WA because those against it say it's cruel and for the dogs it's painful. Well, how do you feel about this? Already this year, five dogs have died on the track, four at Cannington and just a few days ago, one at Mandurah. That's five deaths in just 6 weeks. So is this okay? Do you accept that it is an unfortunate part of the industry and dogs will die or get injured from time to time? Or at what point do you say enough is enough? Now, I'd like to know how you feel about this, 1300 222 720. Now, I was keen to speak to Racing and Wagering about this today, just to get a better understanding as why so many deaths already this year. I could only get a statement. Racing and Wagering does say it's deeply distressed by the deaths, and I'll get into that statement in a moment. First, though, I want to go to Mel Harrison, who is from Free the Hounds. Mel, good morning, and thank you for joining me.
Hi, Nadia. Not a problem.
You keep a very close eye on greyhound deaths and injuries. Five deaths in just 6 weeks. Is that unusually high?
Yeah. We've not seen anything like it since about 2019. Well, that's when we started keeping our records. So, for us it is. And I guess the last two, we would also say that possibly it's got to do with the end of the greyhound injury full recovery scheme that Racing and Wagering had. So we just think because the trainers won't have the capacity to keep these dogs during rehab that possibly they're going to be euthanized and this will just, you know, keep going up.
Okay, we'll talk about that in a moment. But firstly, if we look at these five deaths then, you've read the stewards' reports. What do they say?
Well, Columbus Minnelli, who was the first death, he was dead before he hit the ground, basically. Snapped his neck, died before the vet could get to him. And that was a Saturday night. So there was children at the track. On the footage, you can see them, you know, around the starting box watching and running along the fence. Cash Landing and Cameron Keeping died on the Tuesday evening, which both of them died in the same race meeting, different races, same meeting. Shady Town, right hock fracture, which is a broken rear right leg. Normally, most of those, about 60 of those, went into the injury scheme last year, but this dog was euthanized. And then we have Send It Rose down in Mandurah, a right foreleg fracture, so the front leg broke. That can be very dependent because if they shatter, then it's obviously much harder to mend. So that one's a harder one to call. But, we just think it's too many.
Okay. And when we look at those steward reports as well, there was no problems identified with the track for both those tracks. So these are hard to predict, hard to avoid. I mean, is there anyone that can be blamed for this given the tracks are checked and the tracks are deemed to be okay and safe?
We had WA, Racing and Wagering, WA had the University of Technology, Sydney, come over back in 2020 during COVID times and check all the tracks and their surface and how hard they are and how well they run. Now, when they tried to check Cannington, there was no data available for it, meaning how dry they were, the consistency of what the makeup of the track was, the surface. And since then, nobody has looked at it. No independent body has looked at it. And it was Racing and Wagering that decided that it was safe to run on. So they're not really comparing the safety of it to any metric or standard but their own. And they're the ones that also track it and check it. So, and, you know, it's up to the WA Greyhound Association to actually care for the tracks, yet Racing and Wagering, because they have the stewards, make the final say. I mean, who's to say that Greyhounds WA aren't saying, you know, no, this is too hard to be running on, this isn't right, but Racing and Wagering want it to go ahead. This is the problem with having no independent or, you know, separate oversight of this.
Or you could look at the other side of the coin and Greyhound WA might be saying the tracks are okay.
But the stewards get the final say.
Right.
Who are with Racing and Wagering. So it's up to Racing and Wagering whether or not it goes ahead and their stewards.
Mel Harrison's my guest this morning, president of Free the Hounds. And if we look at the tracks, the death this week actually happened at the track in Mandurah, and I understand that track had been upgraded.
$6.6 million last year. They had seven major injuries prior to the upgrade, had the upgrade, seven major injuries again after that, and then a death. That was at the end of last year. And now this year they've had three major injuries and a death already at Mandurah. So, I mean, okay, they might have wanted to upgrade it and maybe they've done the work that UTS told them to do, but it's just proving over and over that there is no safe track. And saying that injuries happen, you know, in sporadic, you know, you might get 10 or 20 at once and then you won't have anything for months.
Well, and that's exactly what Racing and Wagering is saying.
Yeah, we've had this discussion with them before, but that just proves as well that you cannot stop this from occurring. The only way to stop it is to end it. The only way that they greyhound suffering is ever going to end is to end racing. There is no such thing as safe racing in the way that we do it for human entertainment.
Mel Harrison is president of Free the Hounds, my guest this morning on ABC Radio Perth and WA. I'm keen to know your views on this. We've had five greyhounds die on the track in the last 6 weeks, which is unusually high. You know, this time last year, there'd been no deaths. And as you heard, and I will read a statement from Racing and Wagering. They do make the point that they will go months and months and months without any deaths. And then you might get a few in a row. And as I said, I will read out some of their statement. It's a pretty lengthy one. Ideally, though, I would like to speak to somebody from Racing and Wagering, and hopefully they might be able to make somebody available in the next few days. You have tried for a long time, Mel, to try and get this banned, but there is no appetite to ban it here in WA. So do you then just accept that this is an unfortunate part of greyhound racing? And like horse racing, you will get from time to time animals that die.
Will I personally ever accept it? No, because I don't think it's the right thing for the human race to be doing in 2023. But if we have to, then let's make it as safe as we can for the dogs. And there's things that can be implemented, because the biggest issue, apart from injuries, is rehoming these greyhounds. There is nowhere for these dogs to go in our state. None. There's Racing and Wagering alone have 72 dogs still that have got broken injury or broken legs or parts of their body that went through the greyhound injury full recovery scheme. So you've got 72 sitting there waiting already to be rehomed. None, you know, you've got probably 100 more coming out to retire that are regular retired dogs. Another rescue group, Greyhound Adoptions WA, they've got approximately 50 in foster care at the moment and 100 on their wait list. Where are all these dogs going to go? And I just found out yesterday that we've just opened a new artificial insemination place here in WA that are going to help with the reproduction of these dogs. I mean, and we still pay breeding bonuses. It's insane. It's insanity. We can have racing if we have to. If we have to, absolutely. But let's work together to make it the best it can be.
Okay, so how do you do that? Is having a straight track an option?
I mean, it's better than a round track, definitely, but then you're spending another, you know, some more millions of dollars on another track. We cap breeding for starters. Participants have to pay a bond for a dog when they put it into racing, so that at least there's some, we know that there's money there waiting for this dog if it does get injured. If they don't, then the owner gets the money back at the end of it, and or it goes to the people that are going to adopt it. They help pay for that if there's injuries or rehabilitation that the dog has to have. We don't allow dogs to come over from the eastern states until we can get a handle on the population that we've got here. And we cut down race days. Mm. We don't have 7 days racing. But the reason that they want that is because the government gets the point of consumption tax here in WA. So somebody in China can be betting on a dog here, and the government gets a little bit of money for that. And that's what they look at, because you can run greyhounds 24 hours a day, basically, because of all the races we've got happening across the country.
Mel, finally, we are in a heat wave. At this stage, individual meets can and make a decision as to whether they cancel, postpone or reschedule the timing of a race over the next few days. And they generally do tend to be at night when it's cooler. Should these races be cancelled?
Absolutely. I mean, I was at Cannington Track watching them get, you know, kennel their dogs, and my car said that it was still 40 degrees and they've got dogs in the trailers and that was at about 5 to 6. Kenneling was due to start at 6. But these dogs might have come or been put in their trailers at 4 p.m., you know, down in Southern River and further south to drive up to Cannington. I mean, if there's a traffic jam or a fire like happened a few years ago, that, you know, These people get delayed. Dogs can be in trailers longer. Yes, they water down the car park, but that's about it. You know, they shouldn't be running. And these dogs have had to be in kennels all day. So they're going to be hotter than normal. They're going to be dehydrated. Yes, the vet checks on them. There's one vet for possibly 80 dogs, you know. And, okay, they've got a veterinary assistant, but those veterinary assistants aren't always, or the nurses, they're not always qualified. Some of them are track attendants. So there's also the toll that's being made on these people. I mean, veterinary suicide is so high. And these people, I feel sorry for the vets and the trainers as well. I mean, there's got to be a connection there. There has to be. That they don't want to see this kind of carnage.
Yeah. All right, Mel, I'll leave it there. As I expect, a lot of people want to talk about this, and I do appreciate your time. Mel Harrison there, president of Free the Hounds. It is 8:45.